You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Thanks to our nerd friends, the nerd kings in the kingdom of nerddom that is Area 52 and Elizabeth Street and Hobart, proud supporters of this here show and this here radio station. Thanks, Area 52.
Good lads.
This is The Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. It's just Trent and Leon tonight. We'll explain why in just a moment, but we actually have to kind of get the show started on a little bit of a down note, because at the time of broadcast here on Thursday night, the 18th of May, the news has just broken that singer Chris Cornell has just passed away.
Yep.
And I know this is a show about board games and card games.
Yes.
But if you're a regular listener, you'll also know that we actually care quite a bit about music, and Chris is somebody whose music I've listened to a great deal over the years, particularly while playing games.
Yes, I grew up listening to his music as well, because I have an older brother who's 10 years older than me, so he was well into them, so I grew up listening to them way before I probably should have been.
And you're making me feel just really old now, and I'm going to sound like an old fart when I say this.
Oh, yeah, my older brother's still younger than you. Moving on.
So this is all just a reminder to me about our own mortality.
Yes, indeed.
And
was it 52, I think he was?
Too young for anybody.
Oh, in this day and age, that's insanity.
Yeah. And cause of death unknown at this point.
Yeah.
But it's a reminder to me that in our consumer culture, that the art we choose to consume, to listen to, to watch, or to play,
yep.
And that's if you consider that designing a great board game is an art, and I think it is.
Certainly is.
I don't think it's a stretch at all. There's certainly artistry in it.
Mm-hmm.
That all of these things are the things that give our life whatever semblance of meaning they might have, especially when you're young. And we should be proud of those choices.
Yes,
that
should
we make. We should be proud of the things we love. But remember, it's all just made by people.
Yes.
And it's important to find people who share those passions and to support each other. So, vale, Chris. And bear with us, we're going to start talking about board games and card games and a bunch of other stuff in a moment, but we just want to play something really, really friggin' loud in the studio.
We certainly do.
In the meantime. All right, so Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
That was Audioslave with Co Cheese on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. A little tribute there to the very sadly late and great Chris Cornell, as we just discovered about an hour or so ago. So tonight's program brought to you by Area 52, our good friends, for your gaming and comic book needs in Hobart. Go give them a visit. They are good, good folk. Also, we forgot to mention that it is episode 166 this evening.
Oh, thank you for reminding me.
That is all right on this 18th of May.
166 times we've done this.
Yeah.
And it's just you and me tonight.
Mm.
Garth's getting wined and dined by people who really should know better.
Exactly.
And Mark is claiming he's ill.
He has claimed that, although... Although, fear not, people, he has left us, or me, his notes for the Kickstarter update tonight. And so that's going to be interesting. So I'm going to try and do them in Mark's reading voice and see how that goes.
Does he write... So he's given you his notes for the show. Does he write out all his puns?
No. There's not as much puns here as I thought. Although there's a few grammatical errors, which for me saying is quite hilarious.
Wow.
But I'm going to read them as is on the notes. So if you hear something that makes no sense... You can blame him.
So if you're looking for ways to spend your money on nerd stuff, well, Area 52 can help you out, but also Kickstarter, and we'll tell you all about that in the meantime. But speaking of Kickstarter, what we've been playing lately was an old game that actually made a return to Kickstarter just recently, an oldie but a goodie from 2011, Omen, Reign of War.
It sounds rather metal.
From Small Box Games. And it is a bit metal because this new edition of Omen, Reign of War, comes in. It's the Omega edition of Omen. It's not funny the third time, is it?
But the fourth time, wait for it, it's going to be a belter.
You keep doing it
yeah.
until it stops being funny
yeah.
and then it becomes funny again.
Yep.
The deluxe edition was kickstarted earlier this year, funded on the 20th of January, actually, and the product delivered in April. That is my idea of a good Kickstarter campaign.
It is quite nice to see, like, going in 3 or 4 months and then it actually turns up. It is quite nice.
Of course, in this case, it is an older, pre-existing game. So all the artwork, everything was done.
And it is essentially, yes, a deck of cards that has some nice coins with it, but it is just a deck of cards.
The idea is that since it's been created, it's had a few different editions and expansions, and the Omega edition is possibly the last printing, but certainly the game's definitive version. And it comes in this lovely black linen box, metal coins, gold foil,
yep,
lettering on it, as you say, very metal.
Indeed it was.
The game itself is just a fairly simple little two-player beat-em-up. It's fast-playing. It was nominated for a Golden Geek Award in 2011 for the best two-player game. It didn't win.
What did?
My research didn't extend to that.
Or you didn't do it.
Thank you for asking me that question that I don't know the answer.
Not a trouble. I'll be the first of many.
But it has gotten some legs, this game,
yeah,
as it's gone on. So it was worth keeping alive. Basically, you're a son of Zeus.
Sure. Well, aren't we all,
yep,
in some way or another?
Deploying units into battle over three Grecian cities, pillaging for spoils while trying to achieve feats in Omen, Reign of War. Your units, you've got, it's all just basically cards that you're purchasing with the coins. There's soldiers, there's oracles, there's beasts, spirits and heroes, and you're paying your metal coins to deploy them onto the three cities. You've got your side of the city, I've got my side of the city.
Oh, good to know.
The soldiers, when they get a power that activates as soon as they arrive,
yes,
into the city. The oracles, well, they get their own phase of the turn to do all sorts of things that basically results in you getting more coins and,
yes,
more cards.
They're very powerful little creatures, those oracles.
They are. Mm. Beasts. And this is where the
speaking of, yeah, metal, yeah, and very powerful little creatures.
And some fabulous artwork for kinds of mythic beasts. Powerful but very expensive creatures who also have big, big, big special abilities,
yes,
that you can deploy. Spirits, which are a kind of cross between soldiers and beasts, I suppose.
And not really as good as either, really.
Not much good in either role, no.
No, but we'll get to that.
And finally, heroes, which are the instants or interrupts of, yeah, this game. They are free to play, quite powerful, but also sort of disposable in a way.
Yes, but the reason they're free to play and also quite powerful, you think, well, they're the best thing in the whole game, but you don't want to play them, do you?
Because they're worth points in your hand.
Exactly.
Because this is all about just trying to win points. That's how you play. Trying to arrange these in various combinations is how you win feats.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have an oracle in every city.
Yes.
Five units on your side of a city. That's a feat.
Yes.
And each player has six feats. And as you achieve those, you flip that card over. And as I say, you're trying to get the points.
Yeah, pretty much.
By flipping over the feats.
That's, yeah, and everyone has the same feat, so you can kind of tell what people are going after. They're going after the same thing as you half the time.
And you're also fighting it out in the cities because there are reward cards in each of those three cities.
Yes.
They're worth 2 points each.
In your hand.
But they also give you special abilities, which you might want to use.
Yes. So
just try and stay ahead.
So you play them onto the field, you will lose one victory point. So you only be left with one instead of the two. But then, yes, you get their special little ability, which can be a game changer.
So, look, I'm not sure if you've entirely followed what we've just said with the description there, because
often
when we do these descriptions, it's a little bit hard to, you know, take in when just someone talking at you and you're not actually seeing the game. But that's really it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much the rules. The rest is done for you because it's all printed on the cards.
Yeah.
And you do get a nice little cheat sheet card that's included in this edition,
yes,
as well.
So double-sided, one side tells you what you're doing throughout your turn, the other side tells you how you get points. So the only two things you need to know, how your round works and how you're going
to
win.
I've played this with all the dice men now, Leon, but you're the only one who's seen fit to turn up this evening.
Yes.
So perhaps you could start by telling us what you thought of Omen, Reign of War, Omega Edition.
I thought it was really good. Yep, that's that done. So next on the dice, yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I do like a two-player game. They're harder to get to the table, because as we find when we want to have a night of playing games, you tend to start inviting people, which then invite more people and so on and so forth. But two-player games, they definitely have their place in the hobby, especially if you don't want to go out and get stuck into your Magic or your Warhammer and spend all the money and all the time. You get something like this that can kind of... And this game is essentially a travel edition, apart from the fact that, yeah, the box is a little bit big, but it is just a deck of cards and some coins. So as I said to you, this is the kind of game that myself and my wife could take when we go on holidays.
Yep.
And if we both got really into it, it's a game that we could pretty much play together quite often. It's a game that would definitely be advantage if you played with the same person over and over again, because you learn their strategies, you know, they learn yours and back and forth, and you both learn the game together, so you're going to get upskilled at the same time.
But it's also just a casual game.
Yeah, it's not difficult at all, but it's very stabby. Not backstabby, more front stabby. We found often many a I play my turn, Trent does a swear, he plays his turn, I do a swear.
It's a good Greek themed beat 'em up.
Yeah.
It's got fantastic art.
Oh, the art's very metal, but the art's real good.
It's sort of a sort of scrappy looking watercolory Greek myth thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of impressionist sort of elements to it. You know, it's not, when you say it's very metal looking, it's not just all blood
and
gore.
No, not all, not just that
chicks and stuff.
But although
that stuff is there,
yes,
but it's sort of a little bit, as I say, impressionistic. It's not clear.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite a random game.
It is, because you're both drawing from the one old big deck.
And, there's a couple of different ways to play it. You can choose to play with your own deck if you want.
Yep.
I don't know what a huge amount of difference it would make, because every card's unique.
Yes, that's one thing we should mention, which is something that a lot of games should strive for. It's the same with Magic the Gathering. There's that style of play, I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, where everyone has a deck of 100 and there's not a single double in that whole deck. That's a very popular way of playing for more casual people, because it's just nice to have all these different random combinations of things. And that's kind of this game in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, and it is all about stringing together those combos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the soldiers are the most common unit in the deck. I think there's like twice as many of those as there are just about anything else.
Close to it, yeah.
But you can't really rely on drawing any particular card when you're playing.
No.
And it does make it, I think, more fun just for a bit of casual smackdown.
Yeah.
But knowing the cards as well is an advantage. So, yeah, as with all of these things, repeat play is a bit of an advantage.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, I've played it more than anybody else, and I'm still getting my butt kicked.
Yes.
By yourself, as it turned out last night.
I may have won our two games, which was quite nice.
It's fast. It's quite swingy.
Yes.
Maybe there's a little bit of... what's the phrase we call it? It's got a runaway leader problem, I think.
It possibly could have, yeah, because once, as I said, it's a very stabby type of game. So if somebody does something which puts them ahead in points, it's probably generally going to put them ahead on the field as well, because they might have more units or they might have started. Just, to get an advantage of you, they have less objectives to worry about, so they can focus more on the same things, which is, always a plus. And also there's a lot of randomness to it as well, especially with those Oracle cards, because they all have special abilities on them that every single turn during their special phase, you have to flip a card from the deck. And if it's another Oracle card, you get their ability and it can swing the whole game. But how often does that actually happen when you reveal a card from the deck? And so it's happened to you once.
Yeah.
Out of the 10 games of this you've played now.
This is a running theme with me, of course, that I'm probably the worst at playing any of these games, but I also maintain that I just have the worst sort of cosmic luck.
Mm.
You know, that I've obviously done something really terrible in a past life to end up here with you.
Well, I was going to say it's compensating because you've got a lovely life with a lovely family, so it's only fair you do horrible at games, but I've kind of got the same thing.
Oh, right.
And I'm relatively lucky. Okay. So it's that's just out the window. You're just not good at things.
So, look, the show's going very, very well so far. And I think we can give a resounding endorsement to Small Box Games' new edition of Omen: Reign of War.
Yes.
The Omega edition, and probably all editions of it. Comes with a bunch of expansions as well.
Yep.
None of which I've actually tried yet.
No, you don't really need them. But again, it's nice to have them there. Once you've played it with somebody 20-odd times, you can chuck some in if you want. But a two-player game that you you could travel with you that, like I said, repeat play with the same person will always be good, but you can still teach it to a newbie and be relatively fine. It's worth its weight in gold.
It is still kicking around in retail, so look out for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not entirely done and dusted.
No.
Right, so that's what we've been playing lately. Now, as promised, an error-riddled list of notes based on what's currently available board gaming and nerd-wise on Kickstarter has been provided to us by the oh-so-sick Mark Rickards.
Oh, get better, Mark. Oh, in all honesty, get better. We don't want you to feel bad.
Our heart bleeds for you, Mark.
But in all honesty, I mean, come on now. This is ridiculous.
Leon's going to attempt to read those in just a moment as we update you on what's available on Kickstarter on the Dice Men Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Alibada, Far Away, and FKA Twigs, Figure Eight. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You're listening to the Dice Men Cometh. Trent and Leon, we're the only ones who can be bothered to be here tonight. And that's with the support of our mates at Area 52. Not just a game shop, also a comic shop, also a bookshop, also a very large and well-ventilated and strategically lit space.
Yes.
Strategically. No, it'd be a lie to say it was all well-lit.
Well, it's a big place.
But you need some dark corners sometimes.
Yes. ideally for holding giant events like, say, a werewolf night.
You've just held another one, haven't you?
We did. We held the second meeting of the Silver Bullet Society the other weekend, and it went down an absolute treat. It was probably even better than the first one. We got a few more people than the first one. Not by much, but another 10 or so. So we ended up with about 80 in the end.
Wow.
So 80 people all crammed into a rather large space.
And is that playing one game of Werewolf?
No.
That's possible, though, isn't it?
It can be done. We actually have, so there's four of us in the society. So we can have three games going at the same time at area there. Because of the space. So we had that, and then when one game finished, pretty much another one began. So throughout the whole night, we ended up having 10 games split across the whole night, and the final game ended up having whoever was left, which is the biggest game we've ever run, which was, I want to say, 36 or 37 people. Because normally the games we were running there was about 20 people each, which would last an hour or a bit longer. But the final game, we had everyone left, we looked at the numbers and went, there's about mid-30s here. Let's just chuck them all in a pile and see what happens.
Yeah, good fun.
Yeah, it was really, really good fun.
Are you being a facilitator for this, or are you actually playing?
No, I'm a facilitator, so I organise it, and I'm one of the moderators, that we call them, for the night, and along with my other friends that have been on the show, Josh and Sam, and the other friend John. And yeah, it was great fun to have by all. There was no negative to come out of the night, which is good. So we hope to do it again in a couple of months' time, and then we'll go from there.
And thanks to Area 52 for helping you out.
Indeed.
Look, I did try. I had this idea. I was inspired by the Silver Bullet Society to run my own game of Two Rooms and a Boom to throw it out there as a public event. Didn't get a lot of takers. Didn't get a lot of interest. Got crook anyway, it didn't happen.
Yep.
Now I think a better idea is that I should just ride your coattails to victory.
I reckon that's a good chance. I reckon we'll probably, next time we do one of our events, either the next time or the time after, we could say, we want to run this game as well. It takes this many people. Same type of thing, everyone yelling at each other and being deceptive.
So can I come along and play with your friends?
Yeah.
Can I, Leon?
Guys, we've got this old guy. He wants to come along and do a thing.
Oh, no. Hey, kids, I'm still cool.
Oh, God, he's doing the clicking thing. Oh, God. Yeah.
So just start the Kickstarter update, please, and put me out of my misery.
Yes, indeed, I will. So, as I said, this is all Mark's notes, and I'm going to read some of them out as it's written here, just because it'll be more fun.
This is the stuff that's attracted Mark's attention on Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
And the first one should probably come as no surprise to anybody who's on Kickstarter at all at the moment.
No. So, the first thing that's written on this piece of paper is romp him. So it's a romper play suit for men, and then in brackets it says explain.
So the romp him is essentially a grown man's onesie.
Yes,
so with shorts.
Yes, so if you want to dress like a 3-day-old, you can now do it as a grown up.
Sean Connery wore one of these in Goldfinger. a powder blue sort of Terry Towling pantsuit.
That is lovely.
Didn't look any good on him either, and he's Sean Connery.
He was James, indeed, Bond. So apparently they are $95 each, or a one-piece safari suit.
But they do look like quite relaxing game wear.
Yes, they could possibly, I think. Now, he's got written down here, still 27 days to go. That was of last night. It is now 26 days to go. On here, he's got written, raised over $100,000. It's now $218,000.
Wow.
So that's basically, according to his notes, 100K in the last 24 hours.
Plenty of people out there wanting to look like a tool.
Yes, and you may ask, what does that have to do with board games? And the answer is absolutely nothing. Mark just likes to Google this type of stuff, and that's what he found. So now we'll move on to the actual board gamey stuff.
Give us a game.
Okie dokie. So the first one we've got is called the RPG Character Compendium. Now, this is a little Australian Kickstarter that's already reached its goal. It wasn't a huge goal they were after, and there's not heaps of backers so far, but it looks very interesting. What it basically is a giant book filled with 120-odd, I think, over 100 unique pre-made characters that you can use to slot into kind of any RPG you want. So for people that like to run RPG nights that are kind of new into it, if you don't want to have the hassle of using the ones that are in the box or creating ones your own, you could have this pretty much flip to any page and chuck in a character from this.
Might be of interest to somebody new to the hobby.
Oh, yeah. No purists, I think, are going to go out there and use this. But this alone seems like something, you know, interesting. And there's people getting new into RPGs every day of the week.
True.
Yeah. Cool, cool, cool. So the next one, another Australian game from Perth called War Chew. It is a customizable minifigure war game where massive armies meet each other on the battlefield to fight for victory. And by massive, we mean 7-on-7.
Are they Lego figures that are in this game?
They appear to be, from what I can see here on me internet. So I don't know what's going on here. We've got an undead army. We've got an alliance army.
A little bit of copyright infringement, I think, is going on there.
Just a teeny bit, but, you know, it could be a thing. So, so it's Australian, so have a look if you want. But
yeah, support what's going on in your backyard, or at least have a look at it. And if you don't think they need to do better, then maybe just tell them that.
Yeah, it's always good to hear, just don't bother. Right, so now let's move on to the meat and two veg of your board game Kickstarter. At the moment, Heroes of Land, Air and Sea by Gamelin Games, so the company that brought you all the Tiny Epic series. So after all these years of people going, these games are great, but why do they have to be tiny? Well, shut up, because it's a big box filled with miniatures and looks all colourful and the whatnot.
This is exactly the sort of thing that just goes nuts on Kickstarter.
Yeah, well, it's done very, very well for itself. Though pledge goal, they're after $250,000. It's got 17 days left, and they've made 360-odd thousand. I'm debating whether to back this or not. I don't know, because if you get the deluxe edition, it's $139, but that's got everything on it. And it's only $20-odd shipping, which is, that alone is almost worth supporting a company that will send a massive box of stuff to Australia for $20, because we've got some coming up soon that are, ooh, all the old shipping is interesting.
But some of those massive boxes of stuff, you always have to bear in mind. I mean, how often are you really going to get it? Like, you backed the Others, right, from Eric Lang.
Yeah.
Right? Now, how often have we played? We weren't that impressed, and you haven't gone back to it, have you?
You weren't that impressed because you didn't know how to roll dice properly, and you couldn't understand how to roll more than one or two.
Okay, fine. Moving on.
Yes, the point is that, yeah, no. But this one does look, I don't think this one's specifically a mini-fest. This is more along the lines of your Blood Rage type of game, where it's actually a decent game. It just happens to have nice components as well.
Okay.
Which is more important than, we're just going to put lots of minis in it and see what happens.
Heroes of Land, Air and Sea on Kickstarter now.
Yes, so that's the big one on there at the moment. Next one is a game called, now how am I going to pronounce this?
Moa.
Moa. I thought that's what it was, but I didn't want to. So a Martin Wallace board game of birds and mammals for 3 to 5 players.
Yeah, not as in a lawnmower, M-O-A, Moa. Yes. Moa, the Moa was like a, it's, you know what a cassowary is?
I certainly do.
It's like one of the, it's like a dinosaur bird.
Yes.
Right? They actually coexisted with the Maori in New Zealand.
Yes, because this game is based in New Zealand. And it's about the inhabitants of New Zealand and the wave of settlers from over the sea. And the inhabitants of this game are birds reimagined with human traits. Thus, they talk, they walk, they wear clothes, use tools, that kind of jazz. And the invaders are a motley bunch made up of dogs, possum, rats, and weasels. Don't know where they're going with that, but okay. And each mammalian invader has its own characteristics. For instance, the dogs are more peaceful, okay, but powerful if pushed to fight.
Ah.
While the weasel is rapacious?
Yes, that's a word.
Okay, I'll go with that. Attacking whenever possible. So you control the tribe of birds and you seek to control as much of the board as possible. So at the moment it's raised 14-odd thousand. They're going for a goal of 18-odd thousand with 13 days to go. The art definitely looks nice, that's for sure.
Anthropomorphized giant birds.
Yeah, which, you know, can't go wrong with that. And, you know, Martin Wallace, he's a person.
Well, this is interesting because, of course, Martin Wallace has a property in New Zealand, splits his time between there and England, and this is the first game that he will have put out since he announced the demise of his own label, Tree Frog Games.
Yes, indeed.
So this is coming out through something called Ape Game.
Yep.
Ape Games, is that correct?
Yep.
And, we'll wait and see.
Who have created 9 other Kickstarters, one of which was the Great Dinosaur Rush board game. I don't know what that is, but I'm interesting all of a sudden. Oh, and there's another one called Kill the Overlord. Ah, that's an interesting thing. Anyway, I'll look into that later.
It's Martin Wallace. I mean, he's certainly...
He's got a pedigree, for God's sake.
Well, if nothing else, he's also consistent. I mean, he's one of these guys who's just always putting stuff out.
Yep.
It's always of a reasonable quality. You know, there's always a certain minimum standard that he meets. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And he makes his living that way.
That is true. The next one, Deadly Premonition. Do you know what Deadly Premonition is, Trent?
That's thinking that something nasty is coming up in the future.
That's what the words mean, yes. But in this day and age, what all the kids would say, it's based on a video game.
Oh.
And it's based on a video game that fits into that genre that it's so horrible that it's good.
Is this like Five Nights at Freddy's?
No, it's certainly a slightly bigger game than that. But it's a game that's been out for a few years that back a few years ago when the YouTube kind of Let's Players hit for, you know, the guys that play all the video games and either make fun of them or get with the jump scares and whatever and get 10 squillion million views, and it's the thing that stops kids from playing video games because they just watch people play video
games. I don't understand this. Why would you spend your time and chew up your bandwidth watching other people play games?
Well, some of them are quite entertaining.
My daughter does this all the time. I don't understand. Why would you not just play the friggin' game?
Well... it might be a game that you haven't bought it yet, so you should just buy her all the things.
I know I'm sounding like an old fart tonight. You know, I'm complaining about a dead rock star, and music today is not the same as in the 1990s when grunge was the last thing that really changed music. And what are these newfangled video games and YouTubes? What is the YouTubes? I know, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so it's a detective...
Well, no one's going to watch, you know, video of people playing board game... Oh, tabletop.
No, okay. I was about to say, no, they don't, because we've put some videos up and people just don't watch them. Although they should. I mean, they're all right. Either way, back off that. So Detective Card Game is what it is. It's raised $120,000, so it's doing all right for itself.
Well, obviously, if it's attached to a successful property, so...
Well, successful-ish in the fact that, like I said, it's kind of horrible. But either way, it's only $30, $90 shipping. It has a Japanese RPG kind of style. He's got written here, think Final Fantasy crossed with Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I don't think I agree with that at all, but sure. I mean, I'll give you the Twin Peaks reference. That's definitely in there. So the next game here is called Tournament of Towers, a dexterity stacking game, but way cooler. It's literally what's written here.
Become the greatest architect in geometria.
With card drafting and planning elements by Iron Hippo Games, which is pretty cool. They've got 16,000 out of their asking of 22,000. It's a long campaign, this one, for 37 days to go, so... By that logic, you think they're going to get there?
So it's kind of like building blocks the game, but actually, you know what it reminds me of? A really sophisticated version of UGG tech without the clubs or the UGGs.
Well, then what is the point? If you can't UGG and you can't tech, it's just kind of a waste of time.
You're just building, you're actually building towers.
Yeah.
And trying to balance stuff.
But how about this? She's $49 and to Australia, $30 shipping. How good's that?
There are a lot of pieces in this. There's a lot of building. I mean, it's not... I want to stress, if you haven't seen it, it's not just like Lego. It's not just like wooden building blocks. There's all sorts of shapes and sizes of the pieces that you can build your towers and things with. So there's quite a bit there, man. It's not cheap to post that stuff.
Yeah, but...
And anyway. It's got to actually have some weight to it if you're going to build out of it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, I'm not having it. I'm not having any of it. So the next game we've got here is Button Men by Cheap Ass Games.
Oh, we love Cheap Ass Games.
We do. Jamie Ernest over there. This game was originally released in 1990, where it was pairs of buttons, brackets, badges, apparently. It's a multi-award-winning game, and it has raised $46,000 out of its $30,000 goal. I don't actually know what it's about, but the art's cool, and cheap-ass games are damn good. We like them a lot.
And they've made a thing out of dusting off their older properties and sort of giving them a new lick of paint and, you know, like a definitive version.
Yeah.
Sticking it on Kickstarter, so...
Yeah, well, they did the same thing with Kill Dr. Lucky, and then they did Tack not that long ago as well. So they've been pretty successful. This one, we've got $35 to buy it, $24 shipping. It's I get it, but that's what I'm saying there. Next, back onto something a little...
So is what you're saying that you just think the shipping should be some kind of smaller proportion of the overall price? Ergo, if it really does cost $25 to post it, would you be happy to pay more than $50?
I'm saying lie to me. I'm saying make the game $60 and give me like $5 shipping and make me go, that's brilliant!
Done.
Yes, that's how marketing works, people. Don't make it look bad. Just make it look reasonable. Jelly Bean Games, we know them. One of them is our friends.
Dice Girl Tanya was on here telling us about this.
Yes. So
Jelly Bean Games.
I believe we actually broke this news on our little show only a couple of weeks ago. So they have created what she talked about, which is the Jelly Bean T-shirt range. So they've got three designs out first. They needed only $5,000 to get this done. They have already raised over that. And there's 15 days left to go. I know I will certainly be picking some of these up. I've got to back this when I get home before I forget, because there's one there with a cat in a Catan box covering the end of the Catan, and so it just says cat. And if I don't get that for my wife, there's going to be trouble. But yeah, no, that's a brilliant idea what they've come up with. As we said when we had her in the show, it's a gap in the market for these kind of things, because there's pop culture stuff of these kind of T-shirts and video games and movies everywhere. Why isn't there for board games? Well, might as well do it when you've got a good art studio behind you. It only makes sense.
What was I saying at the start of the show about being proud of the stuff that you love? This is how you can show it.
It is a thing that is good. All right, two more left. So the next one is Avian Tycoon by Mr. B Games.
I believe that word is aviation.
Oh, what are the avian? Yes, you are right.
You're not a tycoon of birds.
Yeah. although, better game. So this is probably going to be rubbish what I'm about to read. Let's have a look-see. Shut up, you. I've been up for a long time. Combines route building, stock investments, and pick up and deliver with an airline theme. Yeah, it should have been birds. I mean, they've missed a trick.
It looks like Ticket to Ride with planes.
Yeah!
Again.
Yes, it does kind of have that feel to it.
I mean, I'm sure it's much more sophisticated than that, and I'm dismissing this entire design based on a look at one picture, but it just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Mark here, who's done some of the research and whatnot,
ooh,
has said it's similar to Alan Moon's Airlines Europe, apparently.
Oh, that game that was... Ticket to Ride with Planes.
That's the one. That's the exact one. So they've already funded, so that's good for them. What's the price on that? $48, that's cool. And the shipping is... $35. That's nice. So
that's outside your make-believe ratio.
Well, there's actually written here ARG. Mark has written ARG because the shipping being nearly as much as what the cost
is. That just proves that idiocy is common, but yeah, all right, go on.
Yes, very much so. And finally, Manhattan Project 2.
Oh, I saw this.
Have you played Manhattan Project?
Never.
I've always wanted to play it, but I don't know if I've ever seen it played. Maybe it's a thing that somebody could bring along to BorderCon in a few weeks, because I would like to have a crack at the original Manhattan Project.
Because we are, of course, going to BorderCon.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. And I am really looking forward to it.
We have a lot of friends who are subscribers to this show who get along to BorderCon in Aubrey every year, and we look forward to seeing you there. Manhattan Project, of course, themed around the manufacturing of the atomic bomb.
Yep, the race to the first atomic bomb.
And this is the sequel to it.
Yes, indeed. So this one is, so the game building, so you're building up your arsenal with your workers. There's also spies, politicians, manipulating third world countries, etc., etc. Sounds like a Trumpian nightmare.
Well, it sounds right up my alley. I love anything sort of Cold War and, you know, having grown up in the with the fear of nuclear Armageddon. and now living in my old age with it as well. Again,
but yeah, no, this one definitely looks interesting. And how long has it got left? 26 days to go. There might even be a chance that we get our hands on the first one at BorderCon and might even back this ourselves.
And you're actually not reading the title of that one correctly either, Leon. It's Manhattan Project 2. Colon.
Oh, Minutes to Midnight.
Yeah. See what they've done
Two
there?
2 minutes to Midnight.
See what they've done?
Oh, no. Hey. Oh, how much are you? You put an Iron Maiden pun in there. I don't care. You can charge me all the shipping.
So that is Leon reading Mark's Kickstarter notes. And I actually think you made a fist of that one, mate. Well done.
Well, I tried my absolute dance. But thank you for Mark for actually putting in the yards. I just put the personality.
And we hope that's made you feel better, mate, to know that, you know, if you're sick at home listening to this, Mark, that somebody else can do your job better.
Yep. Always handy to know.
Back in a moment. Dice Man Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
We all know it's important to support the things you love, whether it's ice hockey, walks in the rain, cave diving, a sunburnt country called Australia, or big box deck building board games like Hand of Fate, colon, Ordeal. Well, you can show your love for nearly all of these things with the upcoming Kickstarter for Hand of Fate Ordeals, which has been put out by Brisbane's Rule and Make and Defiant Development, also based in Bris Vegas. This is the deck-building choose-your-own-adventures game that is springing from the screen into life, from digital pixels to cardboard for your digits, which sounds vaguely obscene. 1 to 4 players can play competitively or cooperatively through the adventure card game of life and death, but not really. That could get litigious really quickly. As you brave a deck of encounters, gear up, and fight the baddies. We've seen it firsthand ourselves, thanks to Alan and Alistair from Rule and Make, and we're impressed. Yes, it's another fantasy-themed deck builder, but this one is different! Recreating the lino-cut art of the award-winning video game, and more decks of funky nerd goodness than you could ever possibly need, and it's Australian. You love Australia, don't you? Well, don't you? Well, prove it! And support Hand of Fate, colon, Ordeals on Kickstarter, launching on the 22nd of May. Support it not because it's awesome, not because it's a damn fine game, not because it's a good price, not even because it's Australian. Support Hand of Fate, Ordeals, because I goddamn well told you to.
Eat Fast, name of the band. Venom Dreadlock.
It's a better band name than the song name.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and this is the Dice Man Cometh. Trent and Leon, the sole hosts this evening. Get better, Mark, really. Who's the other guy? What's
Garth, the drunk one at the moment.
Oh, right, that's, yeah, okay. But look, I often feel like maybe people, you know, because we do this show live every week, and I often feel that people maybe stumble across it in their car or whatever and don't know what the hell we're talking about.
It's a good chance. We don't half the time ourselves.
If you want to know, and you're in Hobart, get into Area 52 in Elizabeth Street, because they have all the kinds of board games and card games that we talk about on this show.
Yes.
In there, and they support this show by sponsoring us as well, which we love them for. Another mob who support us are the good blokes at Rule and Make Games.
They are good lads,
out of Bris Vegas. And we had Alan and Alistair on the show last week,
mm-hmm.
which was lovely, and telling us all about Hand of Fate Ordeals.
Yes.
I wasn't around on the Friday, and you guys actually got to play a proper game of it.
Yes, again, at our friendly Area 52. They had a preview night down here in Hobart, which was lovely for them. Anybody that comes down here to do this kind of stuff for us, we appreciate muchly in our little cold little island we have down here. So we had a nice little turnout, and we had a few different tables going at the same time of this new game, which is a quick reminder, there will most likely be some advertisement possibly during the show when we can be bothered recording it, because we're just that professional. But it comes out on the 22nd of the 5th at 8 p.m. That's when it hits Kickstarter. And we'll probably do a big talk about it, spiel about it next week, when we're a few more.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it now?
Nah, it's a big one. We want to talk about it properly. But spoilers, I think it is good, and I am going to back it.
God, Mark's excited about it. He can barely contain himself.
Yes, I know.
And he's appreciative when anybody pays him any attention. And the fact And the fact that somebody would come down here from interstate to show off their brand new Kickstarter to him.
We were more than grateful for
this. He's very excited. And Rule and Make have some pedigree with this, of course.
Yes.
Burger Up has been a very successful game for them. And we have Kickstarter editions of Burger Up to give away.
Three copies, is it not?
I think so.
I believe so.
All you've got to do is send us a selfie of you with a burger.
Yeah.
Hey, how easy is that?
Just simple as you eating and enjoying a burger.
Well, it's an excuse for you to go out right now and just buy a hamburger.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of these, like, you know, the hamburger's become fetishized and sort of hipsterized in recent years. And I'm not one with that. I'm just one to get a bloody good loaded up Australian hamburger with beetroot and the lot in it, an egg and bacon from a suburban tuck shop on the corner. That's what I want.
Or, you know, you could have a, you know, you could have a veggie burger with
aioli
and avocado.
If anybody sends in a picture of a veggie burger, you're just not winning.
I'm going to do that myself.
No, you know, you're not winning either.
Oh.
To win one of the three copies of Burger Up that we have to give away from Rule and Make, send us a selfie of yourself with a burger.
Yep.
Look up The Dice Man Cometh on the Facebooks, the Instagram-a-mams, or just email us dicemencometh@gmail.com.
Yep.
Various ways to enter. Just hurry up about it, right? We haven't put an end date on this. We're just waiting until enough people sort of get in there.
Yeah, we've already had a fair amount anyway, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, don't let that stop you. The more, the absolute merrier. As I mentioned before, we're off to BorderCon in a few weeks. We're very excited about that. But as Mark has down here on his very, very informative notes, there is another convention happening on the 10th and 11th of June. It's called Shepercon. That is Shepercon.
In Shepparton.
Shepercon. Yes. Presented by the Goulburn Valley Gamers Guild, located in Shepparton, Victoria.
Hey.
Shepercon. So 2 days of gaming greatness. So get on to that. So if you're a gamer in the local area, I would if I was in the Victorias, but I'm in the Tasmanias.
Sorry, what's the dates for that one?
10th and 11th of June.
Okay.
So that's a couple of weeks from now.
Yep.
Which is... is that not the same time as BorderCon?
Oh, I see. I see what's happened here.
It is
Shepercon, because BorderCon
sold out in
Nothing Flat,
in a bit sharpish,
quite controversially.
Yes,
as well.
Mm.
I have managed to secure myself a ticket.
Yes,
and thank you very much to the organisers who helped us out for that, to make sure that we get the Dice Men there. But Shepercon is the rival tournament. is that what's going to happen now? We're going to have warring tournaments? Is it just going to be full of people gnashing their teeth because they couldn't get tickets?
Yes. I'd be more than happy to see a giant board game convention versus board game convention war. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, because that's the thing that the hobby really needs, isn't it?
Mainly because I reckon it's a fight I could do some decent damage in. And there's not many of them around.
No, true. Hey, speaking of BorderCon, I reckon I'm gonna try and get a couple of games of Fiasco.
Ooh.
Going over the weekend.
I have heard of this Fiasco. I know of it, but I have yet to be in one of your games of it.
Well, it's the GM-less RPG. The elevator pitch of it, if you haven't heard, is you can play through a Coen Brothers style Fiasco in the time that it takes to watch one of their movies,
which is always lovely.
Yeah, so it's certainly... you'll get out of this in under 3 hours.
Nice.
All right. I mean, probably depends on how many drinks you might have, because it is it is that kind of game that tends to be enhanced with a little bit of lubrication.
Yeah.
And it often gets quite... it's very adult-pitched.
Right.
In the sort of shenanigans that can take place. There's murder, and there's lust, and there's infidelity, and all kinds of good... great fun stuff.
So it's a game made for us, basically.
Totally. And yeah. And I was in Melbourne last weekend, and I actually bought the rule book finally. Because I do believe in supporting the things that you love.
Although, yes.
I must say, $54 for a B5 size book with a hell of a lot of padding in it probably isn't necessarily worth it. Yeah. Bully pulpit games.
Mm.
That's a little bit overpriced. But I wanted to support the company because it is a damn fine game and one of the best RPGs ever.
Excellent.
And so rules light. So I think a couple of rounds of Fiasco at BorderCon.
I'm very much looking forward. I'm looking forward to not being jet lagged as hell at this year's BorderCon, because last year was after my 2-month Europe trip just coming back. So that was where one day I might have missed a little bit of BorderCon because I slept for 19 hours.
And was that a contributor to you just sort of bailing out of stuff at random, from what I remember?
No, that was PAX.
Oh.
That was PAX, where early in the morning they wanted to teach me terraforming Mars, I think it was. And they started to explain the rules, and I saw the cards with all the different symbols and words and went, no, I'm out, and just ran over and bought more Final Fantasy trading cards.
Thanks to the guys and girls at Area 52, this has been the Dice Men Cometh show 166 for another week.
Yes.
We will be taking the week of BorderCon off.
Yes.
But the good news about that is that we're going to come back after a week's break.
Yep.
To, we'll have plenty of what we've been playing to talk about.
Indeed.
So that's coming up on that that weekend of the 8th of June. Until then, some of us will be back next week.
Oh, who knows?
We'll see who's still standing.
By this point, it could be bloody anyway.
The hardcore hosts will be here.
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Ta-ra.
Have a good one. Bye.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support the Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.